to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Ms. Fuchs, please take the roll.
Commissioner Mickley?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter? Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please rise. Join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is minutes of Thursday, May 3rd, 2012. Any questions or additions, deletions? Now, is there a motion to approve? Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Next is a public hearings, business items. Item A, Kendall G. Bruning. Mr. Deedle. I'm trying to remember your name.
There is a public hearing on this matter. A very brief introduction, and then Nick will read the notice. Mr. Bruning is asking for some changes to the industrial zoning district in terms of permitted uses, adding seven uses that currently aren't allowed at all, and adding as permitted uses, and then adding another seven uses that currently are categorized as special uses to convert them to permitted uses. To broaden the expand of the uses that are allowed, Ms. Bruning was put his materials together related to both his particular property in specific and in some general fashions to M1 is overall for the city, and talked about the compatibility of his various uses with the M1 zoning district intent and how it really works from day to day. There's a number of different categories in there. I'll go into more detail later, and I'll go in more detail in the zoning staff recommendations as well. And then I'll turn it over to Nick for a notice.
Okay. Ms. Fuchs, you have a public notice to read for us.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 17th, 2012 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Kendall G. Brunick for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification Title Numbers 4731, Freight Transportation Arrangement 6411, Insurance Agents, Brokers, and Service 6512, Non-Residential Building Operators 6519, Real Property Lessors Not Elsewhere Classified 6531, Real Estate Agents and Managers 6552, Subdividers and Developers Not Elsewhere Classified, and 8322, Individual and Family Services, to allow for such uses as a permitted use in the M1 Light Limited Industrial District and Standard Industrial Classification Title Numbers 782, Lawn and Garden Services, 1711, Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, 1721, Painting and Paper Hanging, 1731, Electrical Work, 1751, Carpentry Work, 1752, Floor Laying and Floor Work, Not Elsewhere Classified, and 1761, Roofing, Siding, and Sheet Metal Work, to change such uses from a special use to a permitted use in the M1 Limited Industrial District.
All right, I'm going to open this item up for public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding this item? Anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding item 3A, Kendall G. Brunick? Seeing no one, I'm going to close the public hearing. And I should ask, are there any questions or comments? Mr. Bennett.
Which ones are special use and which ones are permitted?
The applicant's requesting all to be permitted. The ones that are currently special are those contractor-related ones. That would be the 1711, 1721, 1731, 1751, 1752, 1761, and the 782. Those are currently special, and they're asking to be changed to permitted.
I would think the contractor ones are the ones that are special use. They can have a lot of outdoor storage equipment. Garden centers generally have outside outside storage of bins of different materials. I think without a special use, we have very little control over that. Just my thoughts on that. I know there's other things I don't see the problem, but ones that are contractors, I would think we want to have some, you know, lawn and garden services. We've had problems with that in the past. Roofing and siding contractors can have a lot of trucks and whatever outside.
How many problems have we had?
We are aware of a number of them with the lawn and garden centers throughout the city. So both those are located within industrial areas and those that are located in more residential areas. We've had problems with both throughout the years. So I do agree with Mr. Bennett on that one. The other ones, however, we haven't had really problems with. And we do believe that there are some occasions where they are closely related to M1 uses. So staff is actually recommending that for six of those seven, that we do agree and change them to permitted. Just the lawn and garden one, we're saying remain in special use.
Yeah. I guess I would ask this, because I've raised this last plan commission meeting about number of developers saying we could fill storefronts and we could take care of a lot of stuff if it wasn't for this, what I would call over micromanagement of the situation, or if we left it in the hands of the staff. If it was one or two developers, I wouldn't be raising these things, but it seems to be a problem that property owners that are trying to build facilities. And I'm also being told that, unlike other municipalities, this is, our language goes way over and above what other municipalities have. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I do know that Mr. Brunig can probably talk a little bit about it, because he's had a lot of expertise, not just in Franklin, but in other areas. So we'll ask Mr. Brunig to comment.
Okay. Well, for one, the ordinance in section 15-5, the traffic, off-street parking, loading, and highway access. The problems with contractors and landscape contractors is if they start piling all sorts of things outside. The ordinance has already addressed that if you have parking of trucks and equipment, it says no truck or vehicle or equipment of a commercial or industrial nature shall be parked regularly on a lot or parcel in any zoning district except here and specified. And it says any vehicle over 8,000 pounds gross weight may be parked in districts not previously mentioned, which is mainly residential districts, as the normal course of business in conjunction with the commercial or industrial use of the property. However, any overnight parking shall not be allowed without a special use. So if the restrictions are still there that you have concerns over, and you could let them administratively approve it. And the ones that they've had problems with, I don't know if they're ones that have had permits or not had permits. But either way, the ordinance already addresses that. And if you need to park a vehicle out there, or if you need outside storage, the ordinance has already addressed those things. So what it's doing is making them go through the special use approval process when it's already in the ordinance requiring that. So I would think that they could just, for their normal administrative approval process, is review the code and address those things. If they need something like that, then they have to go for special use, which is what it says here.
Mr. Bennett?
I would be happy if after those uses we would put with no outside storage.
City
but I don't think I don't think that's the way it's administered. I think this is a site plan review, and you know, I just I, outside, because I see it, all kinds of outside storage. But I would be satisfied if that's after lawn and garden center service with no outside storage of equipment or materials.
It would probably require something different in drafting other than the way it's drafted right now, because right now it's just proposing to change those SIC codes to approved uses versus special use. So there'd have to be some kind of a condition added to that.
It still wouldn't be administratively approved, right? Because they'd have to go through the planning commission for a site approval.
Correct, unless you further expanded upon that idea through this UDO text amendment. But if all we did was just added no outside storage, staff would make that call. Is there outside storage? If there is, we'd be recommending no. The applicants could still try to apply for a use.
It sounds like a reasonable compromise. Mr. Fowler?
Just a question for Jack. You're talking about the 1700 section, all those 1700s and the 782 for the addition of the outside storage, or all 47, 83, 64, 65, all of them? I'm assuming you're talking about that lower group on this, I'm sorry, on this page.
When I selected that list from the SIC code list that's in the ordinance, I excluded the ones that are also the normal difficult ones, which would be like mason contractors, concrete contractors, because they typically almost always require a lot of outside storage. So I avoided those and stuck just with the specialty contractors, which is, you know, glazing contractors, which, like in my building, there's always been glazing contractors. Painters, plumbing and heating contractors, they don't always need, especially in M1, the reason they're getting M1 is so that they have some warehousing.
And just for my education, could you briefly explain to me the issues you feel of if you'd had a permitted use versus a special use? What's the burden that's on the developer or the property owner to go through that process as opposed to just having that permitted use?
I think the planners did a pretty good job of drafting it right in their recommendations here, and they say that in order to encourage construction-related uses to locate within the M1 district, it makes sense to simplify the application process to the administratively approved zoning compliance application associated with permitted uses. I've had a number of contractors who have walked away because, you know, If you have to go through a special use process, it's going to take at a minimum 3 months up to, I've gone as long as 18 months to get a permit. And if they're waiting around to get their permit, they're going to go somewhere else. So this would make it make it less expensive. The other thing is a lot of these smaller contractors, because M1 zoning is, there's a lot of small contractors that start out from their house and they move up and they have to have small warehousing. And M1 fits that better because the industrial parks are all bigger buildings for larger contractors. The small contractors don't fit, you know, they can fit in there, but this is a better fit for them. But a lot of them have never had a dealing with a plan commission or hired an architect. You know, if you're used to hammering shingles on a roof, these guys aren't used to that. I am. I've been in front of plenty of boards, but if for them to spend $1,000 on the permits and then spend $1,000 on all the drawings and the time and just the fact that they're not accustomed to it, it makes it difficult for smaller contractors.
And that's what I'm trying to get at here, because again, being relatively new to the Planning Commission and some of the ordinances the city has, it seemed to me that M1, and this might be a question for you and for the planning staff, that's the place where people going from this residential type of office to move to a larger, maybe trying to expand, which is what we'd like to see in Franklin. M1 is the one place they would be able to go, or is there other opportunities?
M1 is for manufacturing and warehousing primarily. Off is only supposed to be an incidental minor component of the M1. So we feel that, yes, if that's what the business is, primarily warehousing and manufacturing with only a small component of office, we feel it's a good fit. Some of these, though, are primarily office with only a small component of warehousing or manufacturing. Those we don't believe are a good fit here or would be better as a special use.
Okay.
But where would, I guess the question is, what zoning would they fit under better than this?
Again, if it's primarily office, there are some of the business categories, not the local neighborhood business categories, but the highway, the community, they are allowed. All these categories are allowed somewhere in the city. Even the one freight transportation, there have been a couple interpretations that have allowed them in the business park. So each of these categories, every single one of them, is allowed in at least one zoning district within the city as a permitted or a special use.
I have a motion in front of me, but I think with Mr. Bennett's suggestion.
Yeah, there's we're kind of discussing two different groups of things here. One are the contractors, which they pretty much agree with my request, but the ones that they don't agree with would be freight transportation arrangement. Freight transportation arrangement is a broker. However, according to the SIC, though, they may also have some warehousing. At a very minimum, I would like to see them at least approved for someplace. M1 and Business Park would make sense. I'm asking for the M1 because they would seem to fit well there. The other ones that I requested were individual and family services. The main reason I requested that is because I have a tenant who had asked to occupy a space that's probably the biggest stretch of the bunch. It's primarily office use. In my particular case, though, my buildings, well, I have both main warehouses and flex office warehouses. And actually, I have a number of tenants who use mini warehouses for storing their, especially landscapers. I probably have 10 of those people, not just here, but all over the metro area. But in my case, these buildings were built as both office and warehouse. And if you don't have the ability to use the offices, basically end up with a building sitting that you can't use. I know originally when the building was built in 1988, one of the ones I have here is insurance brokers and agents. And I've had, I think the first 8 years there was an insurance broker in there. There's been insurance brokers in the M1 zoning on Forest Home Avenue, I think for the last 20 years. There's an insurance agent in M1 zoning at 76th and Ryan. Franklin has specific uses for each of the zoning districts. Some cities have more progressive zoning. So if a business, one of the things is, if you're an office user and you're located next to a landscape contractor or somebody that's sawing and pounding and putting things together in their warehouse, it could disturb you. But a office user moving into the space is moving, they're making the decision to move into an industrial space. So if they make the decision to move into an industrial space and it doesn't fit their use, well, then they have to go somewhere else. It's their decision. But it's not a detriment to them unless, or it's not hurting them. If it does, then they move. The other thing that I asked for was real property lessors. There's a real immediate need for that one to be in there at a bare minimum as a special use, which is what they recommended. I've been in the same office in Franklin for 23 years, and I have currently I have over 1 million square feet of properties, and I'm in a 1,600 square foot office, and most of my people work out of other locations. If I want to expand my office in Franklin in one of my existing buildings, I'm not even approved to operate out of my own buildings. So I do think that's important to, and I'm the real estate, I have real property lessors, non-residential building operators, which would be in my, what I am. I'm also a real property lesser. And I think in industrial space, if you're going to have a person who's leasing non-residential property, they should be able to locate in their own building to lease their non-residential property. So I would think that would be a pretty simple fit in M1. And real estate agents and managers, again, they, if it's strictly a residential, that's not as much of as good of a fit. But if it's a commercial, which I am, that's a good fit. The other one is subdividers and developers. And I threw it in there basically because I guess I fall under a number of those, so that is one of those that I fall under. And they have a number of various opinions as to as far as which one should or shouldn't be approved. But I could agree that the family services is a bit of a stretch for the fit, but again, if a business wants to locate into an industrial area, I don't think it's a detriment to the area. I think if there is an issue, it's going to be with the business themselves being affected by their neighbors, but they can make that decision going in.
Mr. Bagley?
That struck me as well when I read your narrative here is the individual and family social services. Is the public served at all in these offices? Do they have to come in to do applications or anything like that? Or is it simply clerical and inside office work?
This particular user is, it would be their back office operations, and they would also have some telemarketers. They're currently located in the Cousins Center, and they're looking for a new location because they don't know what the future status is going to be there. But if you look at the SIC that they fall under, there's a pretty wide range of, you know, if you approve them, there's a pretty wide range of what things that could entail.
Because it seems to me that what many communities are moving to is more of a creative usage of space for office. I mean, we have the car wash on 76 and Rawson has office space above. You could put offices in there, correct? And there have been offices there.
Yep.
There's car washes going on underneath, but that's a decision that you could make and you could live with that. You know, as long as the public isn't coming, having to have access to some front door, or they're bringing their kids in for this application or that application, it seems to me that the classification could be loosened to be more of a office or clerical, and it's a good fit in that case.
Well, first I would like to thank Mr. Grooming for bringing this to us. I've been on this committee for many years now, and as the mayor has alluded to, over the years I've heard there's a lot of people complaining about something they didn't like about the zoning, but never got to the point of doing anything about it. You've actually brought something to us. I commend you for that. Appreciate your contributions, both as a property owner as well as an active participant in the Pacific part of the community, bringing something to us. So thank you very much for that. And I hope we'll do the same thing because, and we talked about this at other meetings recently. I think it's, we've had this approach to zoning and forbidden special uses for many years. We haven't really done much to update it, and I think you're bringing to us examples of things where some revision there is not at all reasonable. I think staff is taking a look at it and agreed with most of that as well. Have you covered the things that you, I presume you've seen what staff is recommending? Have we covered all the things that are differences? They've gone along. My impression is that they haven't even gone along with it a great deal of what you're suggesting. Have you had a chance to cover all the things that you want to do with the staff?
Yeah, they're recommending yes on the all the contractors. They're recommending that 4731 arrangement of transportation not be allowed as a permitted use, but to allow it as a special use. I guess I can live with that. The real estate operator, subdividers, developers. They're recommending a special use. I think that's probably about as good of a fit with the M1 zone as you can find. And I would think it should be a permanent use. The lawn and garden, they're recommending it remain a special use. I would prefer to see it be a permitted use because there are already other avenues that they can use for enforcing those things. The real estate agents, that one I disagree. They don't feel that it should be allowed there at all. Historically, it's almost always been there, or there has been some there. And I have a current tenant with a signed lease waiting to get approval to occupy the building. And to be honest with you, over the last few years, I've struggled to keep the buildings full because when the economy turned down, the first people to go out of business or close shop were the small contractors. And so I was down to 50%, and things were coming back. But
are they?
Yeah, I'm back to about 80% now, which is, but historically I've run close to full all the time. So, and I know the economics of the thing aren't necessarily always the reason for making a change, but they're not a use that conflicts with anything. And historically they've been there and they've been in other areas. There exist in other areas that have one zone in the city, so I would think that at a minimum it should be a special use. The individual family services, I figured I'd put it in there, give it a shot. If I can understand that not being an approved use.
Spent.
It's a little history. As I recall, when this came in, 15 years ago?
The building?
Yeah.
88 it was built.
88. That the idea was that this the front part would be offices, and if they needed storage, there would be ability to have storage in the warehouse. So, to me, this was, as we approved it back when it originally came in, that it was going to be like an office and a warehouse. So, a person could come in there that had things to distribute or whatever, and you have his office there, and he would have room in the back to store materials or put widgets together or whatever he was going to do. But that was the whole idea, an office and a warehouse or storage or putting things together, whatever you have, very light industrial. So to me, that's, if I recall, that's what we approved back in the late 80s. Isn't it? Is that your recollection?
Wasn't here quite yet.
Oh, you weren't here yet. I'm sorry.
I do appreciate the work of staff and their analysis and the information they have provided. I think to a great extent I am in agreement with Mr. Green's comment that it's really the choice of the user, I think, if they are aware of the existing situation and don't want to be next to warehousing, why isn't this... M1 would not be the place for that if there's a warehouse adjacent to it. I don't know that anybody much objects to an office use. You might say, well, if we don't have that, but I have a comment that's been made in the past, we don't have much M1 zoning in the city. And so we need to keep our M1 zoning for the M1 uses and not let it get used up for other things. But again, the economy has changed. Manufacturing isn't what it used to be. Desirable to have manufacturing businesses, but it's good to have office uses as well. So given that this would simply create a situation where an office user could make a choice without taking space in an M1 location, and nobody's going to be forcing anyone into an undesirable location, there'll be their opportunity to make that choice. So I think I'm, given the time, is inclined to be somewhat more flexible and allow some uses and see how it goes. Again, we don't have that much M1 zoning in the city.
There are plenty of other zoning districts, as Brian pointed out, where some of these businesses could go, but if they're comfortable with being in M1, and office uses in an M1 oftentimes makes the even when there is residential around, the residential is oftentimes more comfortable with an office use nearby than with a manufacturing use nearby. So I think there's some good arguments to be made for making most of all these changes. Now, Mr. Bennett's suggestion was, I mean, you never got to the motion, but I guess that the motion was essentially to approve the resolution as it is drafted. Is that with the...
Yeah, it's about 450 pages. Okay. But with a modification.
And with
Mr. Bennett's modification.
Now, would that be redundant to what we already have in the code regarding outside storage? Because in many cases, we do already have the issue of outside storage.
I think, yes, we do have a section in the code about that. However, I don't think it's been consistently applied. So further clarification in the SIC code would only help us.
Yeah. And that's another issue. We talked at times about enforcement, how enforcement is done, enforcement on the basis of complaint, that sort of thing. That's another issue because, people are going to throw out things out. So even if we already have regulations against it, if there's not going to be any enforcement of it, then there's going to be problems at times. So I'm not suggesting that we get into that matter here because it's not on our agenda, but I think we have noted that an issue to be considered. Nevertheless, if staff is consistent, even though this might be redundant, that the redundancy itself could lend to the importance, the significance of it, and give staff the tool to work with, then that's fine. I would be agreeing with that.
Okay. Mr. Fuller, and then Nick Allen and Solomon would like to speak.
Yeah, and I like what Randy talked about, but I don't believe we have a trail of industrial or manufacturer users beating a path to these M1 districts at this time. And again, I am all for getting more commercial development into this community to help with the property tax burden, particularly in the Franklin School District, and anything we can do without jeopardizing our ability to control what comes into these business districts. And I think planning staff does an excellent job of doing that. I would be very much in favor of the flexibility that this would offer. And I thank you for bringing this forward to us because I think it will be helpful. And I do like your comments and some of the changes you'd like to see.
Kenny is... he didn't hear me. Just on that note, said Kenny. Where's Kenny? Alderman Skrowski said he was going to be here today to speak, in essence, on your behalf.
Okay.
He went to the 128th refueling dinner for both me and himself for the city to be our representative. So he's down at the airport right now. He might be on his way back.
I would move if we're going to suspend the regular order of business to allow Alderman Solomon to speak.
Okay. Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I just have a motion carries. Alderman Solomon.
Thank you. I don't have too much of a problem with any of this, except you have to be very careful with your office space. I mean, if you bring in some telemarketers, and all of a sudden you've got 25, 30 people utilizing parking spaces, and there's limited parking in some of these areas, you have to be very, very careful about the office space. So how staff works that out, it will be not very easy. If you could have one, two, or three in a multi-tenant building like on Venture Drive.
Is there a motion to return to regular business?
So moved.
Okay. Second, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. A farmer boss. Tony.
Tony Burke.
That gentleman just stuck his head in here. He has handled the parking at Miller Park, I think, since the Braves were here, and continues. You may have given him $5. He's a living legend.
It's $9 if you want to know.
You've given him more. I'm going to ask the city attorney, because my voice is annoying. I was going to read it, but the fashion of motion here, that includes Mr. Bennett's suggestions. And I just want to thank you, Mr. Bruni, for bringing this forward. As you know, I had planned on actually making an appointment, I still may, of you to the mayoral ad hoc development review committee, because you've got this vast knowledge of all of these municipalities that you've been involved in. So if we ever get that straightened out, it would be my first call.
It's almost like thanks. What's that?
It's almost like winning the lottery, right?
Yeah.
More people seem to win the ad hoc thing than the lottery in this room, anyway.
City attorney?
I would suggest a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603 as is presented within the Plan Commission agenda packet this date. With the following changes with regard to the roofing, siding, and sheet metal work use, as well as the lawn and garden services use, that those specified SIC code uses remain in the table as a special use with a parenthetical added after the use description stating with outdoor storage, and then those uses be repeated in the table with a parenthetical after each one stating without outside storage, or to say outdoor storage, and that those without outdoor storage uses be listed as a permitted use of the table.
Sure.
I'll move that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Item B, new singular wireless PCS LLC by manager AT&T Mobility Corporation. Mr. Peeble.
Well, the next three items are similar to one another, and the applicant is here in case we have technical questions. They are asking for co-location at existing cell towers or water tower in one instance. Same company for all three. Same general type of request for all three. The first one is the water tower here by City Hall and the fire station, adding three new panel antennas to the existing tower. Associated mechanical equipment, cables, and so on and so forth as well. Additional cabinet, I believe, in one of the buildings. And the only conditions in this one are the standard, typical conditions about they still have to get all other permits and approvals, and it's subject to plans that were submitted for Council Plan Commission review. Staff is recommending approval.
Okay, Mr. Bennett?
Just so there's not any misunderstanding, the Franklin Water Utility has notified the users on the water tower that on July 9th they must remove their antennas and put up cows and probably until the end of October.
Okay.
So you might want to delay this until, but it's up to you. Just long, I don't know who the, if you're involved in the communication, but I want to just be sure that you know that we're planning to paint the tower and that all the antennas and cables and all of them must be removed from the tower on
July through October.
And then by the end of October.
Okay.
Could you please state your name and address?
Absolutely. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Mike Phoenix. I'm with a company called LCC Law. We represent AT&T Mobility. Our address is 606 Dundee Avenue, Elgin, Illinois. And as the planning staff has alluded to, what we are doing, it's called an LTE upgrade. Basically, when you watch TV, you see all these commercials, all these carriers are doing 4G network upgrades. Basically, what that is, we're adding antennas to our existing antenna arrays on each of these cell sites. And what happens nowadays is with all the iPhone, the Wi-Fi, broadband, it's eating up the signal that you have with your cell phone. So it's competing for that signal. With these LTE antennas, what it's going to do is split off the Wi-Fi, broadband, iPhones to a different signal, and then the cell phone users will have their own signal as well. So you're going to basically improve all aspects of the the use. Now, on each of these, as was mentioned, we are going to be adding three additional antennas, one per sector. However, on the second item, which is on airways, we're having to add a platform, replace the existing platform, because the platform has T-arms. It's basically like in all three directions, it goes out like this and holds the antennas. And in order to put that other antenna, we have to have a flat platform in order to do that. So basically, that's what we're requesting on all three of these. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Any questions, comments?
I'm just not going to have any more drop calls if you and all this put there.
It will definitely improve your calls, yes.
Is there a motion to approve a resolution? Oh, Mr. Ritter.
Just my recollection is that for the city water tower, at least we typically required color matching. As I recall, the documents from the city is going to be gray. We established a policy on that. I think
it's in their contract that we have. They must match our color. Tower, they must remove them at their cost. And we've sent them a letter also saying that we want any welding done prior to the painting of the tower, so if they have to do any changing of the brackets or getting the brackets different, particularly if we're going to put new antennas, we want to be sure that all those brackets are up on the tower before the painting. And we've sent letters to all the four carriers on the tower explaining that.
So that's generally handled as far as water tower is concerned, as terms of the lease between the city and the.
And an easy way for you to do it going forward from your standpoint is put in the motion that we match the existing equipment that's up there. That's always the safest way that you don't, because I've had municipalities say match the tower, and what happens is the tower may be gray and all those antennas are white, and if you say it that way, then you're in trouble, because then you're going to have a very odd look.
Well, I'll leave it to staff and city attorney. Our if it's handled through the lease between the city.
And our lease says they have to match the color of the tower. Yeah. All the antennas are matching the tower. And when we repaint, we're probably going to, it's going to be white, but it may be a little bit different white. We'll give them the paint numbers.
Certainly, that's not a problem.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for the property located at 8901 West Drexel Avenue to allow for the installation three long-term Evolution 4G panel wireless new singular wireless PCS LLC antennas on the existing water tower. Second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Next item. Did I ask if there's any questions on the next item? Not, is there a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for the property located at 5600 West Airways Avenue to allow for the installation of three long-term Evolution 4G panel wireless new singular wireless PCS LLC antennas on the existing cell tower?
Second.
And moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item D. Questions on item B? If not, a motion to approve a resolution amending a site plan for the property located at 11217 West Forest Home Avenue to allow for the installation of three long-term Evolution 4G panel wireless new singular wireless PCS LLC antennas on the existing cell tower.
So,
is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have a motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
May I make one quick comment?
Okay.
I just want to recognize Mr. Fuchs for all the help he has done. We were up against it on the timeline to get the drawings back in, and he was extremely helpful and very accommodating.
I wish you would do that. We had to widen the doors the last time.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's all right. So we'll keep him going. Wendell Park Terrace Condominiums. Mr. Fuchs, status report. Anything else? Do you want to accept the report and place on file? Mr. City Attorney.
Only that there's an email that was handed out to the commission members this evening, dated yesterday from Mr. Mark Nicky, with regard to the adjoining residential development. And the bottom line is that they met with representatives of the Planned Development Ground Group from the Planned Development District 16, and they discussed about upkeep, and that everything seems to be progressing satisfactorily at this point in time, so no further action is needed. And staff has mentioned in this email is on agreement with that position.
For the technical term, it's a hunky dory.
We did receive,
I thought, or I received a letter addressed to me and staff from the Homeowners Association thanking everyone for all their hard work and cooperation, and that things are much better.
Yes.
So, ditto is to staff. So there's no action that's requested?
Not this time, but if they have concerns in the future, staff will try to help them, and if we run into a bigger issue, we'll bring it back to the Planning Commission.
The only recommendation I would have is to accept the report and place on file. Mr. Ritter?
Yeah, that's one of my questions when we get to the future action. Is this condition one that sounds like they've begun at least an effective program, but is this the kind of thing that can be corrected within one growing season, or is this something that it would take a year or two for these treatments to be sufficiently effective? Should we have some continued monitoring of this situation? Or
My assumption was the treatment of the trees won't cure them. It just halts the spread of the problem, both in the tree and with the remainders. And it is also my understanding that if the trees do look bad enough or are that close to being dead or dying, that they would actually be removed. I think it was always that understanding. So they just didn't reach an agreement on how close to dead or how close to looking terrible would they replace them. Now I think that they're getting closer together on that definition.
I'm Mr. Gornicki, who is a member of our Board of Public Works.
Isn't he the former director of Public Works for South Milwaukee?
Sherwood.
I'll get that straight. All right, Trails Committee?
Just a report. We're waiting to hear back on the two grants that we put in, and just a notice to the elected officials in the city. There seems to be some mounting criticism of the Safe Routes to School grant program. There's some activity on the blogosphere about a waste of money. And we did have one resident actually send an email to Jim Ritchie, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, telling him that he should not give a grant to the city of Franklin. But I talked to Jim Ritchie, I believe committee member Micklig spoke to him as well. But it might have been Alderman Will. Spoke to him as well, and we assured him that the city was interested in moving ahead with that grant, and we're hoping to get it, and that we had addressed the issues that the person raised.
Blogosphere
issues.
I think we should hear sometime in the end of July or August. That's my hope, but depending on how long it takes them to review the grants, I think. I'm very optimistic in talking with Mr. Ritchie, and I can't remember the woman from DOT I talked to on the Safe Routes to School, Carol.
Renee Cowell.
Thank you. And she seemed to be very optimistic for all the hard work that this group and the council and the committee put in getting the Safe Routes to School onto the plan and getting the initial Safe Routes to School planning document put together, which I will defend on anybody who has issues with why they think it's a waste of money. I think it's a really important document. Because it does more than just teaching kids to walk to school. It has a much broader spectrum than what's being touted.
Well, I get to see quite a few people in the community going to this event or that event or whatever. I know that it's probably highly unlikely that there would be anything wrong on the block, but every person I've talked to is just absolutely thrilled with what you're trying to achieve here. Everyone. So, there might be a couple of people that are not happy. So, have to get over it. Mr. Haley?
Yeah, if I might, and just as a reminder to those that would criticize it as a waste of Franklin money, Safe Routes to School program will be 100% funded. Require no matching funds.
Next thing. Good thing. There you go again, trying to protect the kids. So, what are you going to learn?
And other than that, we are just waiting to hear, and that's the end of the report.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
No.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Come on over.